It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
Great to have you, Jerry Reinsdorf. Thrilled to be the new home of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carman. He's Harry Tynowitz. Joel Goldberg has been doing phenomenal work covering the Kansas City Royals. He's a World Series champion. Harry, I've walked out of the K, as they call it, Kauffman Stadium. Mm-hmm. There are people lining up to get Joel Goldberg's autograph. It's unbelievable. This is a guy that's, you know,
bigger icon in Kansas City, George Brett or Joel Goldberg.
It's real close. What do you think, Joel? Let's do a little Q rating on that.
A Q rating would be below George, below Harry in Chicago. See, I told Dan, your producer, that tell Carmen this is a huge honor for me to be on with him. He's a big deal. And I said, actually, no, Harry's a bigger deal. Because I grew up listening to Harry.
Oh, well,
it's the truth.
No, it's true. It means you've been doing great radio for a long time. So,
all that stuff.
Just don't look at any of the pictures, because I remember seeing Gene Greco once years ago. And I'm like, man, you came and spoke at my high school. And he looked at me and he's like, oh, my God, because I had a lot of gray hair. So I don't know if it makes you feel younger, older, or whatever, but it's good to be on with both of you guys.
Did you grow up a Sox or a Cub fan, Joel?
Out of protest, I grew up a Sox fan, which is really weird to do growing up in Highland Park. But my family moved to Highland Park when I was 13. I was a diehard Phillies fan growing up outside of Philadelphia. And at that point, the Phillies and the Cubs were in the same division. So there was absolutely no way that I could root for, you know, any division rival of the Phillies, so I just adopted the White Sox to be obnoxious.
I like that. I mean, you know, you're doing the opposite. You're George Costanza-ing it.
That's not an easy thing to do on the North Shore.
No,
but you know, it was also a good time. I mean, as I was kind of, you know, graduating high school around those years, Big Frank and Robin and all those guys and Ozzie were coming up. So I mean, it was obviously an easy team to root for. And then I remember, like, the ultimate was 1993. I think it was 93 with the Phillies and the White Sox both in the playoffs. Was a cool year. But I will say, and I'm not trying to be politically correct or anything like that, but I enjoyed watching the Cubs win. I like Joe Maddon, having dealt with him a lot in the American League. And, you know, I mean, it's like the same thing probably for you guys and all of us now, too. Once you're in the business, it's just they're all other teams.
Well, Joel, the Sox are beginning their season with your Royals, and just a couple years ago, the Royals were like this exciting, fun, young team. Yeah. It's hard. When I look at the average age, and the Royals are amongst the oldest teams in baseball, it kind of threw me off. I want to go to your pitching. Danny Duffy is awesome. To spend 7 years with one American League team and have an ERA of 3.73, that guy is awesome, but where are you at with the rest of your rotation?
No, it's a good point, Harry, and a little bit of a scare today. I'm not there. I'm back at home already, but I know that he came out of his start early today, pulled out from the trainers. They just reported that it was some shoulder tightness. He's saying he fully expects to make the opening day start off of James Shields, which, by the way, sidebar, will turn into this if you have a dialogue between those two Southern California former teammates. Dude. That's all it'll be. I mean, it's ridiculous. The rest of the pitching is interesting from this standpoint. You guys are certainly familiar with Jason Hammel. Ian Kennedy's been around Major League Baseball a long time. Both guys underachieved last year. Hammel had some stretches where he showed what his potential is. If those two guys are what they should be, don't want to be superstars, and if Danny Duffy stays healthy, and then they got a guy, Nate Karns, who they got in a trade for Jerrod Dyson, their speedster, prior to last year. He looked lights out, and then he ended up having that thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, and he's back to healthy. So I think the big ifs on them, and it's really no different than the past, they don't have that Chris Sale type. They don't have that John Lester superstar. But if everybody does what they should, they've got a rotation that can hang in there. For once, for the first time in a long time, it's actually their bullpen that's the big question mark.
Joel Goldberg at TV in Kansas City with us here as we take a look at the Royals. And, you know, when we bring him up, Joel, here, it's a lot of it is the comparison. Can the White Sox do what the Royals did, or the Astros or whoever? Like, do you see similarities there between what the White Sox are doing and what Kansas City was able to do?
Yeah, you know what I sensed from the White Sox last year, and I'm fortunate enough that I, in doing the pre and post, I travel with the team. I don't do it from a studio. So, you know, I get a chance to visit with other players, other teams, managers, and all of that. What I really liked from what I saw from the White Sox last year, which did remind me a little bit of the Royals, say, maybe like around 2011, 2012, when Hosmer came up and Moustakas and Salvador Perez and all these young guys started to emerge, is I liked the White Sox energy last year. You know, I felt really good about some of these young guys coming up and especially Rick Renteria's energy. So I think that from that standpoint, it does remind me of the Royals. It does remind me a little bit of the Astros. I think there's some differences. You know, the Royals were starting from scratch. I mean, when Dave Moore took over in 2006, and that's where a lot of people say now they're in a rebuild or some form of a rebuild, and that's probably, I mean, it's true, but they're not building a whole system from scratch anymore. Wherever their system, their minor league system is ranked at this point, they have infrastructure in place, which they never had. It feels like the White Sox kind of had to take that big step back to go forward, and it feels to me very much like they're on the right track. And I'm not just saying that, but I think the future is really bright for all the young talent that they brought in.
Are you surprised that Mike Moustakas is back? Because that played out forever, and he didn't get near the money that he wanted. But I think like Kansas City was pretty much ready to move on. But okay, we'll bring you back at this rate.
This whole market, I think, shocked everyone. I mean, nobody saw that and read the tea leaves on this one. I mean, okay, in the end, Hosmer ends up getting a huge deal. You know, some guys did. I mean, did you think that a Jake Arrieta would last this long
and
suddenly get the deal that he did? I mean, none of us saw this coming, but I think, and maybe there are people around the country and in different markets that would say otherwise, but I think that Mike Moustakas receiving a one-year, $6.5 million deal, no one saw that coming. I don't think anyone really saw him coming back to Kansas City unless there was some way that they got Hosmer back and said, let's just keep the band together and figure out a way to make it work. But I think the concern all along was that was going to be too expensive and, you know, you got to move forward. But to get, I mean, for a guy that is 29, maybe just turned 30 years old, that hit 38 home runs playing at Kauffman Stadium, to only get 6.5, I mean, that was a shock. Great for the Royals. I mean, they went out there in the last month and for almost no money, got John Jay in center field, who will really help replace Hosmer's leadership, I think, this year with a younger team. Although, as Harry mentioned, older, but they've got a lot of youth coming up. And then they got Lucas Duda, who at least has the power to replace some of what they lost elsewhere. They went out and signed all these guys, even just pulling off a deal for Justin Grimm for a bullpen that really is depleted right now. It was kind of like a long off-season game of musical chairs. And when the music stopped, the Royals were one of the only teams that had chairs left.
How close were they in bringing Hosmer back?
I think pretty close. I think there was a lot of serious talk about it. I mean, they'll never tell you, but I think there was certainly a tipping point where they were going to say, "Look, either this is it, or we're going to move on." And I think that all along, when it was, you know, a choice between here and San Diego. A lot of money up front, a lot of guarantees in there. I don't know where the Royals' comfort level was. I could just say this, that he was going to be their target if there was any way to pull it off, just because of all the intangibles to go along with everything else. So from the offense to the defense to the championship caliber to the leadership, he's as good of a leader that I've covered in any sport in my 25-plus years of television. He's that legit. So San Diego will benefit greatly from him, and I think the Royals wanted to find a way to do that. It was a tough spot, only in the sense that they want to turn the page and start getting new and young guys up and kind of get the next wave of the Hosmers and see if they could build all that. Who better to usher all those kids in and show them the right way to do it than a true born leader? But there was a cost to it, and I think that you know, eventually they walked.
I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, Harry, but I used to work in Kansas City, and Eric Hosmer, who we're talking about,
yes,
you know, big man on campus. The
yes.
Kansas City's got great barbecue. One of the nicer places is Jack Stack, which is right downtown. Very popular and always very crowded. Friday night, Eric Hosmer, Joel Goldberg, you will believe this story. He's just sitting there, one of the people waiting for a table, and I'm like, dude, you're Eric Hosmer, just... You know, it was before, it was this like 11 when I was working there. They still didn't know. And he just waited. And to what Joel's talking about, like guys like that, to have somebody who doesn't think he's bigger than you around the team, there's huge value in that.
Hell yeah. Well, we're visiting for a little bit longer with Joel Goldberg. He does the pre and post for the Kansas City Royals. He's a Highland Park boy made good in Kansas City. Joel, we just had a really good chat with Matt Davidson, who's going to hit 50 home runs this year for the White Sox. Your DH is a name familiar to a lot of Chicagoans. What do you expect from a Jorge Soler this season?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's an important one.
Thank you. That's two more than I had all of last year.
You know, they're good days and they're good years and there are bad years, right? So 2018 is off to a good. There's still a chance to ruin it, I suspect. I think it's really important here in Kansas City. You know, they made that trade knowing that they weren't going to be able to keep Wade Davis. The Cubs, obviously, for them, with the amount of outfielders they had, to be able to go and get a championship-caliber closer made a lot of sense. The other thing that the Royals had, which I don't think the Cubs really did anymore, was they had the ability to be a little bit more patient with him. And so they had three more years of seeing what he can do. I know that he came into camp in better shape. Everybody stays. Says that, it seems like every single year. A lot of the coaching staff raved about a couple of the things that he's done very well in camp. They said he tracked balls really well, and they've been impressed with his defense. So that's good if he's going to play some right field and DH also, and maybe play a little bit of left. But he's also walked a lot, and so they know he's going to strike out a lot, but they would love to see that power turn. You guys know what power is in that body. They would love to see that power, the walks, and if the strikeouts come with it, so be it. I think that the big message they have for him, and you know, they actually were crowded in the outfield last year. They were crowded at the DH spot, and finally just sent him to the minors because he was struggling up here and just said, go work down there. And I think they called him in late in the season and basically said, look, you know, just go and do your thing. They don't want him to feel a lot of pressure. There's not a lot of pressure on him this year from the team. I think it's his job to go out there and play every single day. They're going to make a big effort to get him a lot of the best. And, you know, it's important for them. I mean, it's not easy to find power. Power is expensive. And if they can find that in Jorge Soler, or at least unlock that power, which we know is there, it's a big get for them.
Joel Goldberg, great stuff. You want to make a wager? We'll reconvene at the end of the season. Lou Malnati's for, let's go, Arthur Bryant's Barbecue. White Sox better record than the Royals.
Yeah, no, I'll take that bet. I'm happy to do that. So if I win, you're buying me Lou Malnati's?
Yep, sending it down. Or whenever you come in town, we'll meet you at the lodge with Swanee and the whole thing.
Yeah, can you just send me the Lou Malnati's regardless? Send me some Lou Malnati's, some Portillo's, and some Michael's from Highland Park, and I'll be good to go.
So good, the cheese fries. Joel, thanks, man. Great to talk to you.
All right, fellas.